Hey, this is Schmeens from Lettuce, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. I'm excited to bring you this week's episode. For those of you who are familiar with me, you've heard me talk about my musical tastes and history. You know that I'm a funk fan from day one. Before I got into hip hop as a young one, I was into funk and soul, and that's been throughout my entire life has been with me. So today's guest is Adam, aka Schmeens, from the band Lettuce. If you don't know Lettuce, it's a six-piece funk band, Grammy nominated this year, 2020, in the Best Contemporary Instrumental Album category for their album Elevate. And they have a new record that I'm going to play some snippets of, just came out, called Resonate. And man, this dude is a great example of what we talk about on this show, of creating your life around your passion. The band is six amazing musicians. Their live show is off the hook. And he's got some important lessons for us about teamwork, about the trust that these guys develop because they're all at the top of their game. So they know that everybody's going to deliver. They're going to push each other. They're going to challenge each other. And they're going to get the best out of each other. He's got some great stories about that. He also teaches us some lessons about really understanding the audience and how they're learning to connect with the audience in different ways, because they're old school, and now some of that old school stuff doesn't work because we can't get out there. They can't get out there around the world and play for fans live, so they're figuring out how to do it. We got a great episode coming up. Let's check out Ndugu off the new album Resonate right now. Cool, dude, it's great to meet you. I've been bumping your music all week, and it's been great. It's been a good soundtrack to sitting at home and needing to entertain my brain.
Well, anything we could do during a time like this, you know, I'm glad anything helps.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, cool. You know, I'm excited to learn about what you guys are up to and how you've been making this work and all that stuff.
You know, I think really, just like the rest of us, we're all just trying to approach this in the healthiest manner that we can, you know, individually, that, you know, we're all human and we're all going to have some days where, like, you know, it feels like the walls are crashing in around us, but
yeah, of course,
most of the time I think if you can focus on the tasks at hand rather than the big picture, which is something that Mr. Deitch said the other day, and I actually really appreciated it. Sometimes the big picture in this situation is a little too intense, and so if you could focus on the tasks that you whether it's like cleaning your house, whether it's writing a new piece of music, whether it's, you know, focusing on the next video that's going to be released from our new record, you know, stuff like that. Just anything that's going to keep you kind of occupied, whether it's making a meal, cooking and really getting into it. I don't know. I just think that, like, all those little things add up and, you know, then your day is done, you go to sleep.
I mean, there's something to be said for that, right? And, like, you know, there's so much that's out of our control that we tend to worry about. And sometimes, right, it's just a matter of focusing on what you can control, what you can get done, and you know, kind of create momentum that way.
Exactly.
So if you don't mind, I mean, I love to kind of dig into your story and the story of Lettuce a little bit, and you know how you got to this point. Do you
a lot of good luck.
Yeah, for sure. That's always a big part of it. Let's go back to the very beginning. Do you remember the first record that you ever bought for yourself?
Not the first record I bought for myself.
What about like the first record that you fell in love with?
I have a story. I went through some troubled periods as a kid. I was dealing with I have alopecia universalis, which is like where all your hair falls out, and that started for me as like a 12, 13, right? So I was dealing with like a lot of issues. I was hanging out with some bad kids. There was this one kid I was hanging out with who eventually went to jail. He was like 5 years older than me, and I was just following his lead, and I probably shouldn't have done it. But that day we were opening up cars that were unlocked and taking the cassette tapes from.
Sure.
And then we had a bounty of cassette tapes at the end of the day. And I remember looking at one of his cassettes he had over on his side and being like, oh, that one, that's the one I'm supposed to get over there too. And it was Led Zeppelin 4.
Okay.
And I was like, I'll trade you these. I don't even know what tapes it was. I'll trade you these three tapes for that one. Right. So I don't know. That sticks out in my mind. There was a lot of time for me during that period where I was up in my room alone. I had headphones. I had a CD player. And I was just trying to search out as much music as I could back then, essentially, and just listen to it and try and escape from my own reality. Sure. You know, at times wasn't very pleasant all the time during that period of my life.
Well, I mean, Zeppelin 4 is a great place to start a musical journey, for sure.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't where I started. I just remember that happening. There's a couple significant albums that kind of like take place in my life. I think that's a significant one. I think Life on Planet Groove, Maceo Parker, was a very significant one, and one that ended up bonding Lettuce. Like some of the first times we jammed with some of the stuff on that record.
Nice.
And when my high school music teacher gave me a funk mixtape for the very first time, I said, why are you giving this to me? And he explained that every time we play something kind of funky up in the jazz band, I see you and you light up. That's what he told me. And then he gave me this tape and it started with Tower of Power, Oakland Stroke, parts 1 and 2 put together.
Nice.
And then, you know, I went out and searched out Tower and found Back to Oakland, the album that's on. So that's me, another huge, significant album in my development. I remember Van Halen 1984 as the very first record that was given to me as a gift. That was my first record and not part of the communal records that my family had, my sister, my older sister and my parents and all the records of theirs that I grew up on, including like stuff like Stevie Wonder Intervisions. Like one of the very first records that my parents told me they put headphones on me to keep me from crying as a baby. And it worked.
Nice.
And I actually remember during parts when I lived in New York City as a kid, hearing police and sirens outside. And there's that section in Living for the City where Stevie gets arrested and used to scare me. I had an emotional response to it as a kid. And I remember that emotional response. That's pretty crazy.
For sure.
So, you know, I would say Inner Visions is right up there for me in these significant records that changed me as a human being, you know.
This episode of Rebel Radio is brought to you by Issue. I'm excited to have Issue on the show because I know a lot of you are creatives. You're producing content just like we are. And Issue is a great tool. If you have content to push out and a story to share, it removes a lot of the complexity to make your content look amazing, make it easy to share exactly the way you envisioned it. We're actually using it right now. You've probably heard me talk about it. We just hit our 5-year anniversary. We're producing a little piece on the last 5 years to share with all of you. Spoiler alert. And we're using Issue to do it because it makes it easy to, we're using their templates, putting everything into a PDF. It allows us to create once and distribute it everywhere on our website, on social platforms. It'll be on our Facebook, Instagram, etc., etc. And we'll be able to share it with all of you and all of the millions of other people that use Issue as well. Best of all, it's free to get started with Issue. Go to issue.info/rebel to sign up for your free account. That's issuu.info/rebel. To sign up, let them know you heard about it from our show. Remember, that's .info, not .com. Go to issue.info/rebel and set up your free account today. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that. And, it's interesting because I think, there's the records that are around us from our parents, our family, our friends, whatever. And then, and those can have a huge impact on you, right? And then there's those records that are yours. And I think especially at that young age where, you know, where that's really meaningful is like, this is my record. I chose it or it was gifted to me or whatever it is. But I think there's a subtle difference in terms of your relationship to those records, that music.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's the same for kids nowadays, because you don't really have that much physical music. You know what I mean? That was literally like, this is physically my record.
Yeah.
That's mine. You can't have it.
It's funny. I made a big deal of that for my son is 10 and he plays music, and you know, obviously he's of that streaming generation that, you know, he can have any song at any moment. But you know, there was a couple of years ago, he was really into Black Sabbath, you know, Iron Man particularly. And so I went and bought him the vinyl and I gave it to him. And I was like, you know, we have all these thousands of records. This one's yours. And it was a big deal to him, you know, and it had kind of a special meaning. And I think that's true of everybody, whether music is your life or it's just part of your life, you know, it has meaning to all of us. And I think those things kind of shape us and who we are.
Yeah. And I think music's going to be very different for everyone in their own meanings, because I think we have a lot of memories that we associate with music, especially as we get older.
For sure.
Some of those pieces will bring you right back to those points in your life, you know, whether those points were great or not so great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm always, you know, I'm always amazed when I hear a song and it takes me back to a smell or to a feeling or a memory. I remember some night out being chased, you know, and going through some crazy shit. And there's one song that brings that back to me no matter what.
What song?
Boys in the Hood. Cause we were playing it. We were playing it on the way to this party and the party went all wrong.
Exactly.
And I love that record, but it definitely brings that memory right back to me as if it was yesterday.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're touching on what some of the beautiful aspects of what music does for our lives, which is that it can be a great escape. It can take you on a journey away from where you are right at that moment.
For sure.
And that's kind of like what one of the things that keeps me going as far as like wanting to continue to do this music thing is how many people have come and told me and be like, yo, your music has had such a positive effect on my life, and and what Lettuce has done has enabled me to get through this hard time, and that this song or this, you know, show has a particular meaning for me as far as, you know, something significant in their life. We've had people who have, you know, reached out to us who have had terminal illnesses and told us, like, it gets deep, man. You know, sometimes you don't even realize what you're doing for people because you're out there and you're doing your thing with your homies and, and you're making music and you get really involved in that moment until someone might come back and relay, hey man, this is more of the big picture that we're able, but as musicians, and this is true for all of us, that we're able to make an impact.
Right.
I think that music within the past like 20 years has been so financially impacted by internet and streaming that a lot of these musicians who maybe 20, 25, 30 years ago, if they were connecting as much with people then as they did now, they would be selling a lot of records and they would be looked at our society, which, you know, really associates, I think, success with financial success.
Sure.
If you don't have financial success, then it seems like a lot of the American culture has been like, well, you know, maybe one day if you do this right, you'll have it, rather than be like, wow, these people are giving everything they got to try and like do something to help the world.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of things you just said, because you hit some, you know, some profound notes there. But the first thing, so I know you travel around the world and, you know, interact with different fans and crowds and all over. And so you just said that as like an American thing. Do you think that is unique to America, or do you see a different relationship with fans and the idea of success in other cultures?
You know, I'm not in touch with like popular culture people.
Okay.
You know, all of these Lettuce fans that I've ever interacted with, these are people who have already dove deep into music.
Right.
Yeah, you know, these are not your average everyday listeners. I'm pretty sure anyone who has stumbled upon Lettuce is like someone who has big ears and,
sure,
you know, listens to a lot of different styles of music and isn't necessarily caught up in strictly only pop radio.
Right.
And not that there's anything wrong with pop radio. I that's a beautiful art form within itself.
Mm-hmm.
Not what we do and not who our fans are is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sure.
I think no matter where we go, whether it's the US, whether it's, you know, Europe or anything, like those aren't your average everyday people.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I can't really make a judgment or statement upon like whether it's American or whether it's not. The only thing that I felt while I traveled across Europe is that some of the places, not all of them, some of them definitely were like, you know, if this is the best, shiniest, newest thing, they're a little bit like, we don't care. The old thing still works.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that meant for like a lot of different things, whether it was like, you know, you're in Amsterdam and you're like, well, America has this hydroponic great compared, we don't want it like that. This is how we do it. And, you know, I don't know. Their whole thing is just, I don't know. I felt different cultures as we went through Europe. I felt the French were just so passionate, the passionate people, they scream and yell. Other cultures were a little bit more reserved, a little bit more like classical style, the way you'd listen to music, wait until the end, then applaud.
Sure.
You know, which is totally another way of appreciating music and showing a different style of and culture of appreciation.
So how does that affect you guys? Do you find yourselves, you know, changing the approach to match the culture where you're performing, or is it like we do our thing and fans just interact with it in different ways depending on who they are?
I think no matter, like, just because of where we come from and this, you know, the places we grew up playing, like something like a Wally's Cafe, where we really, you know, as budding musicians, really got lucky enough to play somewhere where you can have that kind of freedom and have a crowd there that is, you know, responsive,
mm-hmm.
ultra responsive, in fact. I think we do better when people give us that energy and we're able to be like, oh, wow, can you feel that?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tangible, and then you can do something with that energy and give it back.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's how we culturally are, you know, that's how we deal with it. You know, mm-hmm. that's how we learned it.
Yeah.
We like call and response.
Yeah, sure. Sure. So go back to something you said earlier. You were talking about your music teacher reading you, right, and seeing how you responded to you know, certain type of music. So tell me about, like, the point where you realized that was going to be your path, your career. You know, when did that come into view for you? Because obviously it sounds like you grew up, you know, playing music, and music was always part of your life. At some point, though, that became the thing, right?
The degree of, like, some of my friends and some of the other guys in Lettuce and some of my colleagues, I was probably more unsure than the rest of the guys, just be frank and be honest with that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you grow up with two parents who are music teachers, like Adam Deitch, and you've been playing music since you've been 2 years old,
right?
Then, like, you know, you were probably a little bit more confident and sure in your path in life during the transitional periods of adolescence.
Yeah.
Where for me, I think I was a little bit more like, my parents aren't musicians, and I didn't know whether or not you could accomplish different aspects in life as a musician that I wanted to, you know,
mm-hmm.
accomplish. And then, you know, meeting Adam's parents, Bobby and Denise Deitch, and seeing that you can have a musical family, you know, that definitely opened my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, it just happened that during that time, my uncle, who was the professional musician in my family, you know, he didn't have kids of his own at that point. And maybe I viewed it a little bit as like, if you're a musician, then it's a solo man's life or something like that.
And, uh-huh.
you know, I was already dealing with probably a lot of feelings of isolation in some ways. And, you know, that I didn't want to imagine myself for the rest of my life like that.
Yeah.
Having a family was something that I knew was important to me, even back then.
Sure.
Looking in the future, you know.
Sure. So how did this partnership come together? How did, you know, Lettuce is six guys, right? I think by any definition, a successful partnership, you've made it work and all that.
And it's changed through the years. We've had different people come and different people go.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, the real basis, the story of Lettuce is that, you know, I'm telling you about my vulnerabilities right now as a kid. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people we'll be willing to share that stuff. But to be honest, like, a lot of that stuff is what brought us together. That music was the savior for all of us, and that was our bond. You know what I mean? However we got to it was totally different, but we happened to meet up at the right times and look at each other and look at each other honestly and be like, wow, music is the savior for this dude too. If it wasn't for music, this dude would probably be a little bit more crazy than he actually is. Which is true for all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And we really bonded. We really bonded as friends. And, you know, I really think that, like, you know, our friendship is the bond of this group. And I think as time goes on, we realize truly how lucky we are to have a relationship that's lasted this long, to have a band that's lasted this long, to be able to eat from it, yeah, to be able to put roof over our heads from it. You know, you realize as time goes on how difficult the journey really is for most humans, for most musicians. We know so many musicians who are so uber talented and, you know, don't kind of get the same notoriety as us. And because of, and you know, all these things add up and you kind of feel them and you're like, wow. You know, I'm just a little tiny piece in this cog of, you know, spirituality and music and what brings us all together. And I'm lucky to be here and I'm lucky to do my part. You know, that's it.
Yeah. No, that's great. I, you know, I think every great musician, every great band is, you know, has a certain amount of magic that's, you know, what I would call where, you know, talent meets luck and all of that. Right. But I, you know, I think, I love what you said, because it's like, usually people think it's about it, that it's the music, right? That it's the musical talent that kind of gets you to where you're going. And you pointed out, there's lots of really talented musicians who are not professionals, they're not, you know, successful in that way, you know, as far as careers. And so, and I really don't think it's that. I think the talent obviously is important, but I don't think that's the magic. I think it's something else. And, you know, if I'm hearing you, you know, it sounds like it's the chemistry and the vulnerability of you guys coming together and you know, somehow giving each other what you each needed.
Yeah. You know, I'm proud to be able to not just play with these incredible musicians, but to really be like, these are incredible people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really love each and every one of the guys in Lettuce. And I don't know if everyone can say that if you're in a band, you know.
So if you met six young guys right now who were thinking of coming together as a band, is there anything you would tell them to do differently than what you guys did?
Yeah, 100%. I'd be like, yo, we are in different times right now than how we came up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in the same way that, like, we might have been looking at people like Fish or the Grateful Dead in that, like, oh, okay, you can come up and play for huge audiences and never really have hits on the radio, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of like our big mind-blowing moment at a Fish show, like, oh my God, these dudes have never had a major hit on their, look at this, can you believe that you can build this?
It's unbelievable, right? Yeah.
That's like kind of wake-up moment. And, you know, the Grateful Dead with Tapers and letting people in where a lot of musicians during that time period would be like, oh, who's putting out the tape? Who owns the rights to the tape? Am I getting money from the tape? You know what I mean? Like that whole mentality, just kind of flipping it into being like, hey, the more people who know about you, the more notoriety you have, which is the more power you have, the more notoriety you have, because you can draw more people.
Sure.
And draw is your power. And now you have bands today, and I tell these young kids, you better be looking at the Wolfpacks of the world, who weren't gigging 24/7, who weren't driving 6 hours to New Hampshire in a small van to play for 25 people. They used the internet in order to spread their, you know, their gospel and have their voices heard. And I just think, like, wow, why would you do the 6 hour drive to New Hampshire to open up for some band where you're going to play in front of 35 people,
right,
15 of which didn't want to listen to you anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why even do that when you can get online now and put out your product online on YouTube? And by the end of 3 weeks, you've had, you know, 6,000 views on it. And then all of a sudden you've touched, you know, 5,000 people versus, and you spent your time doing that,
right,
versus doing that. Right. I would just say spend your time doing things that are going to reach as many people. That's the goal. It was always to reach people. And back in the day, you had to work really hard to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to work as hard nowadays to reach people. And you have to find your niche and get in there and, you know, find your specific way of doing it,
right,
which is going to be different than the way we did it. And it's probably going to be different than the way Wolfpack did it. And it's probably going to be different than, you know, each person is going to have to find some new, different angle to capture the attention of the masses.
Yeah,
Or the masses, or the musically educated masses, or whatever it may be.
I mean, I think that's a great insight, you know, that, you know, you can't really copy someone else's business model, right? You can learn from them and you can,
yes,
be inspired, but you got to really find your own thing. And I think, you know, people forget that in life, and especially in music and creative work, right? But, you know, let's talk a little bit more about what you just said, because obviously in 2020, no one's driving 6 hours to go perform for anybody.
No, I think they still are.
Well,
I think they still are. Oh, well, right at this moment.
That's what I mean, is right now, right? And so right. I think
no driving. No, right, one's going any
game. Totally. Right. And you know, what you just said, I think, is great advice for last year. It's essential for this year, right? In terms of being able to connect with people online. And I think, you know, I'm having arguments. Not, I don't know if argument's the right word, but, you know, I think it's an ongoing conversation about, certainly connecting with people through a screen is different than being sweaty in the room together, right? And I think, you know, some people that are more set in their ways are having a harder time seeing the value in that. And, you know, my perspective is more like, well, first of all, you don't have a choice right now, so you might as well jump in with both feet and do the best you can.
In the Wolfpack model, if you were a fan of theirs, you didn't really have a choice either. What'd you have, 3 shows in total in the year of like 2018 or before they did Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
So it was kind of the same thing. It was, they withheld.
Yeah.
And built all this interest. And no, it wasn't the same. That's why they were able to sell out Madison Square Garden,
mm-hmm,
because they had that many people who were ready for the real thing.
That's great.
You know, and it's not going to work like that for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, that's great. I mean, I think you're 100% right. Everybody has to find their own way that works for them, that works for their fans. And that's a unique relationship every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about funk. I said about funk.
All right, let's talk about funk.
You know, for me, like, that's you know, the music I grew up with, whether it was, you know, Kool and the Gang to Gap Band to Johnny Guitar Watson, you know, all of that. And then, you know, and then I connected with hip hop, and that kind of diverted my path. And then I saw those coming to get back together. Right. And, you know, for me, and I think a lot of, especially people younger than me, like the introduction to funk was through hip hop. And I was, I had Too Short on the show recently, and he, you know, he defines himself as a funk musician, probably as much as or more than he does a rapper. And so I, you know, for me, I think it's so interesting that, you know, it touches every genre, that there's funk in rock, there's funk in jazz, there's funk in soul, there's funk in hip hop. And I think there's something kind of unique about that. Does any of that make sense?
Sure, man, it makes sense. I mean, you're preaching right now.
Well, what, you know, and
I feel so akin to what you're saying. First of all, I am in that generation of people where funk and hip hop are intertwined.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of us, we were the kids who were, after you heard a hip hop song and then you were in the record store and you're going through the old funk and soul albums and you're like, oh my God, that's the original sample from where that came from.
For sure. I'm buying this
record right now. Who's on this record? Okay, this record has Steve Gadd and Wawa Watson. What other records have Steve Gadd and Wawa Watson? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, and that's how we did it back in the, that's how you went through crates of records hoping to find,
for sure,
those gems, right? And maybe find a gem that no one else has ever found before, and maybe you're going to be the next Timberland or the big hip hop producer. You know, we all wanted that. Every single one of us wanted that.
Yeah. So one of the things that, you know, you know, just listening to your music, you know, it reminded me that, like, the sort of futility of genres, right? And we, you know, we talk, and it's so, I don't know, this is something I wrestle with in life, because I think, you know, labeling things is really useful because it helps us organize, it helps us find stuff. You know, to your point, you hear that sample, you kind of need to know what section of the record store to go looking in, right? But at the same time, it's also so flawed. Right. And you know, I think this idea that you're a funk band, not a rock band, or a funk band, not a jazz band, or
a
funk artist, not a hip hop artist. Right. And those can both be true, you know, equally.
And I have this whole spiel that I did for the last record where it's kind of like, I'm a big NBA guy. I love the modern NBA. I love how they refer to today's basketball as positionless basketball.
Right.
Right. Where you have a center who might be leading the team in passing and 3-point shooting. Mm-hmm. Right. And you might have a guard who's leading the team in rebounding. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone is supposed to be able to pass. Everybody is supposed to be able to shoot. Everybody is supposed to be able to dribble. You know, it's positionless, just like our music might at times be genreless, that we can play every position of music that, you know, not every, but, you know, we try and be as versatile as possible. We all want to be chameleons.
Right.
You know? And I think everyone in Lettuce is so good stylistically being able to play to a certain era or to a certain musical funk genre, you know what I'm saying? Regional funk genre.
Yeah.
You know, I also like to look at the country sometimes as like, oh, okay, this area sounds like this.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether that be like the East Bay sound of like the Tower of Power, Mike Clark, Herbie Hancock, Headhunters, whether it's, you know, that like LA sound, maybe like that Earth, Wind & Fire production, you know, or maybe that Ohio sound of like Bootsy Collins or the Ohio Players, or maybe it's that Minneapolis sound of Prince or Morris Day and the Time.
Yeah.
You know, you can keep going and really kind of break down culturally. You know, not all funk music is the same. It's pretty different, you know. New Orleans funk is completely different than Minneapolis funk, yeah. You know. But there's all these things that binds it all together.
So how do you guys then think about that, you know, what you just said? How does that apply to Lettuce and the Lettuce sound or Lettuce funk?
I mean, I think that we try and touch on all those influences for us, you know, because we love them.
Yeah.
And when you love something, you want to reproduce it or make your own version of it or pay tribute to it. You know, I think everybody does that in their own way.
Yeah. I mean, I love that on the new record. I know there's, I forget the name, but I know there's like Ethiopian, jazz song that you guys dove into. I know you have Everybody Who Wants to Rule the World, which, you know, for me, like, you know, that's a great example. Like, that's an old song that I love, but it's all new. You know, it wasn't like a remake where you're trying to just bring it back for the radio or whatever. It was like you guys doing your thing within that context.
Yeah, specifically that's Nigel and Deitch's arrangement of that tune.
Yeah.
And we've been for a lot of the tunes on the record, we'd actually been performing for a while, and we really needed to get into the studio, and it showed when we got there too, because we ended up recording so much material that it ended up becoming part of this next record.
Yeah.
That's come out too.
Cool.
And we'll probably end up being some of even the next record after that. We recorded something like 30 tunes, 30 wow. something songs, or 30 something ideas, or
yeah,
whatever you want.
Talk about that a little bit. You know, you were talking earlier about the difference between what you guys do and the sort of pop, you know, pop music machine, right? So in that model, you write songs, you record them so that you can go out and tour them and make your money that way, right? But they want, if you're a pop star, like, you want people to hear the songs first, and then you want them to buy tickets to see you perform them.
Everyone to hear our songs first before we play them. No, I don't, it's really not that different. I'm not, I think when I say that we're different from being pop artists, that's not even really that true. That's a part of all of us as well.
Sure.
Gio has played on a ton of pop songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Deitch has produced pop songs with right. some of the biggest pop artists in the world. You know? I've played for pop artists. I've recorded for pop artists. That's another part of who we are as musicians. It's just not what Lettuce happens to be at this moment in time.
Sure.
And it's not that I don't think that we could end up making something that could cross over into the pop world, because I think one day we could. Mm-hmm. And it would be still true to exactly who we all are.
If you're digging this one and you want to stick with the funk, go back to one of our very early episodes. Different style of funk for sure, but the band Tuxedo, Mayor Hawthorne and Jake One were among my first guests, and we talked about the kind of funk they were making. So you can go back and check that out. When you work on some of those other projects, how's the approach different than coming together as Lettuce to make a record?
Well, I mean, every musical situation is going to be different.
Okay.
For all of those situations, for me personally, I've always been like way more of a background. The artist doesn't know me that well. I've been hired to come in here and mm-hmm. place myself generally through the producer. And I don't really think the approach is that much different. You're just always trying to play the most musical thing possible for the music in front of you. You know, you're trying to find a part that works for the song, whether it's a pop tune, whether it's a funk tune, makes no difference. It's all music.
Yeah.
You're just always trying to play the right thing for the music.
Yeah.
And I think for the pop sessions that I've been part of, it's always been like, you know, I'm more of a squeaky voice. Like, hey guys, what if maybe this? Well, what if you suggested? Okay, now we're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not walking on eggshells around the Lettuce guys.
Right.
Everyone really respects the other person's ideas, which is really refreshing and really awesome in a musical setting, you know? Like when... If Jesus were to tell me, like, my guitar line weren't funking, I'd be like, damn, that's coming from him. He's got to be right.
Right.
I got to change what I'm playing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's such good life lesson, right? That, you know, when you're around, when you have that trust and that relationship with people, you can go, yo, that's whack. Try this or I'm not feeling it or whatever. And then with a stranger or someone that you don't have that relationship with, you know, I think
if you say that, you might ruin your relationship with them.
For sure. But at the same time, if you don't say anything, maybe you don't get anywhere. And so I think there's a right, you know, I love what you just said of like, hey, sorry, you know, what about this? Right. Or you could soften it in a way that maybe makes it more acceptable to somebody who doesn't have that relationship with you. And kind of, you know, I always say like, you wanted them to feel like it was their idea.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of whisper it in their ear, right?
As a hired musician, there's not even room for your ideas here.
Fair enough.
And sometimes the other person's ideas are that solid. You're not even needed to come. I'm there to play some guitar.
Right.
They don't want my ideas. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At time, depending on the session. I mean, that happened with me. I did a Robin Thicke session with him, and I thought Robin, I don't know, he just impressed me so much. And as far as being like someone who would get in your ear, mm-hmm. and be like, hey man, can you play it more like this? Mm-hmm. And then sing it exactly how he wanted it to be played, note for note. And if you were wrong by one note, he'd be like, no, not da-da, da-da.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's great.
I had an experience like that with him where I was like, yo, this is more about him having an idea and you helping it get out. Mm-hmm. So there's always different roles to be played in a musical setting. And, you know, it's pretty important to be able to read what people want or what people need from you at that time.
I mean, like I said, I think that's true in all of life, right? Like sometimes you got to step up and be a leader. Sometimes you got to fall back and be a follower. And
sometimes you got to be a little bit of both.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes we have trouble adjusting those roles, right?
Yes. And sometimes you're lucky enough to be around like the guys in Lettuce who make you feel comfortable enough as a human being and as a musician to play all the roles at different times.
So how does that work in the band? Tell me a little bit about, you know, that partnership. Cause you know, essentially you have five business partners. I know you guys do other things, you know, on your own as well. But maybe, you know, what's the best and the worst thing about having five business partners? And
there's nothing worse about it. It's, you great. Know, I'm constantly being inspired to keep working, to keep moving forward. There's times, I think, as a human being where, like, you kind of want to shut down a little bit, and these guys are going to be like, yo, no, there's no shutting down. We got to do this. We got to do this. You know, it's kind of like Lettuce is this has this momentum, this rolling ball getting bigger and bigger, getting down this hill. And, you know, there's no time for you to be complacent about it as an owner.
Yeah.
You always need to, like, you know, if there's a rock in the way of that ball, you got to move it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to make sure that this keeps rolling, keeps moving.
Yeah.
And I think having partners that, like, are as creative and intelligent and fun to be around as these guys, it just makes you want to do it. Makes you want to do it. You know, there's other people, like musicians, you might be like, yeah, let's do it. And you never do it.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, I always want to come correct for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to, like, bring an idea that's whack. I always feel inspired to try and bring the best of, you know, I think we all feel that we want to bring the best of ourselves to this situation.
Sure.
And the best part about it is these guys inspire you, the best parts of yourself musically.
Mm.
You know, I want to bring the funkiest parts of myself to these guys because I know they're going to appreciate it.
I love that. Yeah. You know, thinking about momentum, I know you guys got a Grammy nomination last year. What does that do for momentum?
Wow. I mean, how do you even put that into words? It was like an injection of just enthusiasm into the tour that we were on right at that moment. And just realizing that, again, that people appreciate you,
yeah,
that you're helping people out, that you're changing some lives, and for it to be that concrete, I don't know, man. It was one of the most moving experiences of my life, and I think of our life as Lettuce, as it, you know, that's a career highlight, 100%.
That's amazing. So do you guys, you know, when that happens, do you guys come together and, like, is there a sense of, like, you know, how do we capitalize on this? Or is it more just like, let's keep doing what we're doing, that adds some fuel to the fire?
I mean, I think there's just a part of us which is like, hey, if we could get recognized once, we can get recognized again. Yeah. So, you know, I think the people who won in our category had already been nominated 9 times and hadn't won before that.
Wow.
I think Christian Scott in our category nominated 5 times or something like that. But, you know, we're all out here. We're all just trying to do our thing. And I really felt that community at the Grammys, you know.
Nice.
That we were all a musical family, and we're all just trying to do the best with what we have, and you know, make a difference for the time that we're here.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, what are you most excited about now? What's the rest of the year look like, and what are you?
I'm excited for people to hear the rest of the record. Comes out on May 8th.
Nice.
I'm excited. I'm working with the rest of the guys and this really cool animator right now on a video for the new song, for one of the new songs on the record.
Nice.
And I'm excited to be teaching lessons, and we have a lot of excited, talented, young people who listen to Lettuce, and, you know, to be talking to them back and forth and giving lessons and seeing how much young talent there is in the world right now is really inspiring.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Some of my students are just kind of like, wow, they're so good. They're so young. They're so good. I can't even believe it.
Where are you teaching?
Right here. Just like this.
Okay.
Just like that.
Nice.
Yeah, I think if you go to the Lettuce website or the Lettuce Facebook page or our Lettuce Instagram, you'll find links for Lettuce Teach.
Oh, cool.
And we're all offering lessons. You can go get a drum lesson from Adam Deitch. You can go get a bass lesson from Jesus Coombs. You can go get a piano or voice lesson from Mr. Nigel Hall. You know, trumpet and, from Bloom, and horn lessons from Zoidus, and guitar lessons from me. And I think each one of us have something to offer, no matter what level of musicianship you're at that moment, whether it be, you know, just instruments or talking about production or how to move forward, you know?
I mean, I think that's great. Obviously, you know, everybody has to figure out how to stay creatively engaged right now while we're locked in our homes and, sure, you know, not able to be around the people we're used to being around or do those things. Yeah. And I think, you know, I love that you guys are, you know, giving to people, and I'm sure also getting a lot yourselves by, you know.
And behind the scenes, we're all sending around ideas and working from home and,
yeah,
working on new songs and, you know, still trying to collaborate with each other.
Yeah.
And we're lucky enough that we live in an era now that we can actually do it and all have the technology at home to be able to, you know, put a guitar part down and put a bass part down and put a guitar part down and send it on to the next guy.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if we were still had our fax machines in our houses trying to communicate with each other.
Sure. Imagine, right, we had no electricity.
Yeah, no doubt. Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let me do a quick lightning round before I let you go.
All right, lightning round.
Lightning round. What's your favorite city to travel to?
All of them.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I don't have a favorite city. There's the dude.
You don't have to.
You've been in the world. It's so big. I just went to Europe. Every city was incredible and mind blowing. Barcelona came to mind. Nice. I loved Barcelona. How about that?
Yeah.
I love.
It's my favorite city I haven't been to yet. It's like the one that I hear most from people that I haven't made it to yet.
No offense to any of the other cities. I love you all.
For sure. Who is your favorite DJ?
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yes, mine too.
So much fun with him at the Super Jam for Bonnaroo that one year, man. He's definitely one of my favorite DJs in the world.
Jeff's amazing.
Yeah.
What's the last great book you read?
Ooh. Sleeping, Dreaming, and Dying.
Ah, that sounds big.
Yeah, it's a book about transcendental meditation.
Oh, cool. Are you a meditator?
When I feel up to it. I'm not. I don't practice regularly. It's something that I do sometimes on my own.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
The Empire Strikes Back.
Ah, nice. Nice. That's probably the best of the series, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
To be There's like I'm torn. I think my normal answer would be like to be able to fly.
Yeah.
I think like on another level, I'm being like to be immune to spreading or getting COVID and just being able to leave my house and do anything without any repercussions whatsoever. I can do anything, no repercussions.
I mean, that would kind of feel like flying, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. So it's kind of the same answer.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Last one, if I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
If you worked for me, something you would hear over and over. Well, you would work for lettuce. And if you worked for lettuce, you would live on our tour bus. And if you lived on our tour bus, you might come in the back lounge every once in a while when I wake up early in the morning. And I might ask you, you want to take an early morning dab with Schmeens?
Yeah. I love it.
See?
Yeah.
See, you would join in.
I love it. I'm always up for that. Dude, thank you for doing this, man. It was so much fun talking to you. Dude,
thank you for having us, man. We really appreciate you and having us on and, you know, keeping us relevant during these times.
No, absolutely, man. I love what y'all are doing. Keep doing it. And hopefully someday we'll all meet in person.
No, that's going to happen, man. It's not if, but when.
Nice. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you.
Peace. Yeah, that was Adam from Lettuce, a.k.a. Schmeens, on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. You know, you can hit us on Twitter, Facebook. I guess that's it. Let us know what you thought. Shoot us some questions, some feedback. I'd love to know what's on your mind. Everything is at Rebel Radio Net. We have episodes on YouTube. Videos from a lot of our shows are showing up on YouTube, so check out youtube.com/Rebel Radio Net. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.